Blog Talk Radio.
Marshal, can we just talk about this for 1 second?
You rescued her. You raised her. You're not protecting her now. You are holding her back.
One, don't you ever touch me again. Two, don't you ever touch me again. Now, you have no idea who the hell I am or where I've come from, and I'm not about to tell you my whole life story. All I need to be to you and everybody on this dome is a fixed point. The last man standing. I do not need your sympathy or your admiration. All I need is your compliance and your fighting skills. And if I can't get that, then you can go back to the wall that I found you crawling on. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bus, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey, people. What better way to get our listeners over the hump on Hump Day, but to broadcast on our Midweek and Review show, folks? It is the Afro Nerd. The captain is in the field, but he is in effect. The call-in number, once again, 915-9620, 646-915-9620. We have a lot to get into, a lot of information to dispense. It is what it is. Let's get to a quick groove, quick funk, black rock, urban alternative, psychedelic soul groove. This is from the master. I'm always playing this, gentleman. Some folks have a key go-to person. The Oracle has Wilson Pickett. I have Prince Rogers Nelson. This is Sexy Dancer Live. Oh, about 2 minutes of it. Sexy Dancer Live, a classic 1993 live performance. Let's groove, people. We'll be right back.
DJ, you know what I'm talking about?
that shit rolling.
Gives me the power, that's for sure. We know that Thor gets his power from Odin. I get my power from the Oracle. Hence, I get the power of the funk so I can disseminate facts to our audience. Once again, his royal badness. We may have to revisit that. 1993, Sexy Dancer Live. Okay, without further ado, we have to get into the discourse, folks. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Obamacare. We're going to talk about Kanye West, who is a licensed fool. He's a licensed fool. You have unlicensed fools and you have licensed fools. I will explain. Anyway, I do need the captain on this one, of course. The captain is on Rigel 4, so let me beam him on in with his theme music, of course. Hold on, folks.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
We had a problem with our teleportation device. So, this transmission is from the field. Isn't technology still amazing? Shall we begin, ladies and gentlemen? Over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, technology is vainglorious, sir. Anyway, I've got to talk about Kanye West. We didn't have this advertised. It just pretty much just came out. About his words, I believe in a magazine article levied toward the first couple about his soon-to-be wife. We'll see how long that union lasts, by the way. We'll see how long it lasts. But it's disturbing. This young man disturbs me. He just does. And I've got to explain this for a minute, folks, and then we'll get into more serious fare. But I've told you, I take umbrage with embarrassing people, especially embarrassing ignorant black folk, because of tribalism. We are tangentially connected to these fools on some level. It ends up translating that way. Let me get to more specifics here. This man might be, I suspect he's sincerely bipolar. Every week, there's something going on with this man. I don't know if it's a mad type of marketing genius, but in theory, you know, you could just be crazy and just sell. I can't believe someone could be this. Either he is a marketing genius, or he's truly disturbed, and we can't tell. What they say is a fine line between genius and insanity, but he's certainly not a musical genius like many have tried to purport him to be. I don't see that. I don't see that whatsoever. But the bar is so low. This is what has happened. Anyway, let me read this from abcnews.com. Kanye West opens up about, wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. I don't know if that's the right. Okay. Yeah, this is, okay. Again, abcnews.com. With a steady stream of superlatives, West makes his point clear. He believes he and Kardashian are tops, better even than the first couple of the United States. No one is looking at what President Obama is wearing, he said. Michelle Obama cannot Instagram a pic like what my girl Instagrammed the other day. Oh, man. Whew, it's hard to even read this stuff, Captain. West was referring to the revealing swimsuit selfie that Kardashian 33 posted to Instagram October 17th. Following a flattering comparison to the First Lady, West went on to praise his girl for being one of the most beautiful people of all time. President Obama has recognized West as smart and very talented, despite calling his fellow Chicagoan a jackass for interrupting Taylor Swift's acceptance speech at an award ceremony in 2009. West, although frustrated with his perceived inability to follow through with some of his goals, appeared hopeful for the future in the radio interview Tuesday, saying, "There's a wall of classism that we are breaking through because we will be the most influential in clothing because it's true to us." Okay, now let me read this thing. I've mentioned I'm very much into etymology, the study of words, the origin of words. Not only do I find it interesting, but I also find it humorous and insightful. Sometimes you have to go to the basics. When you go to the basics of things, even to the basics of certain words that we throw around every day, you find out that the words, when you go into their history, are far more deep than just the surface. So when I throw around words like licensed fools or court jesters, and I mentioned this before a few shows ago, that a court jester had political significance. You know, during the Middle Ages, during antiquity, these fools were around to provide smoke for what was really going on behind the scenes with the monarchy. You have natural fools. And when someone says, "Oh, you're a natural fool," that's a real word. And you have a licensed fool. Now, that's, I suspect that, you know, when it comes to entertainers, as far as their real purpose, they're licensed fools. They're licensed fools. They've been authorized to distract. Let me read this briefly because I think this is just interesting. And then we're going to get into the captain's perceptions on this, and then we'll move along to, again, more serious fare. This is from Wiki. One may conceptualize fools in two camps, those of the natural fool type and those of the licensed fool type. Whereas the natural fool was seen as innately nitwitted, moronic, or mad, the licensed fool was given leeway by permission of the court. In other words, both were excused to some extent for their behavior, but the first because he couldn't help it, and the second by decree. Distinction was made between fools and clowns, or country bumpkins. The fool's status was one of privilege within a royal or noble household. His folly could be regarded as the ravings of a madman, but was often deemed to be divinely inspired. The natural fool was touched by God, much to Goneril's annoyance. This is going more into it, but I just want to give you the basic of that. Okay, that's pretty much all it is. I don't want to go too deeply into it, but licensed fools, country bumpkins, these words that we toss around, I just find it fascinating that they do mean something, and they can be applied to what we see today. So, again, don't mind Kanye. He's a licensed fool. Captain?
Well, I think you summed it up very well. Did a very good job there. His vernacular is not spectacular at all. And, you know, as we've said before on this show, your race and your sex enters into anything that you do. And years ago, when our race decided to enter into anything, and your sex, we performed, not just musically, once we were on the world stage, not just from a musical standpoint, we held that in a very high regard. So we performed at a much higher level because we felt that we had the race and our sex on our shoulders. That's not the case. That's not what we're dealing with at this given time. This is the me, about me for the moment. I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing. And we're in a society where we have been totally dumbed down. Idiot generation. Idiot, menstrual, gormless. I make money, me. Check me out, Instagram, Twitter, and that's that. So I agree totally with what you're saying. He's an idiot. And let's move on. Let's talk about real people now.
Okay, one more thing I got to mention also. There's a person we interviewed years ago, Jay Smooth, a radio personality, New York legend. Perhaps I believe he has the distinction of having the longest-running hip-hop radio show in New York, maybe even beyond that. But let's say in New York, he's the longest-running hip-hop show, 20 years running, progressive hip-hop. It plays everything. It's definitely not of the minstrel variety as to the quality of hip-hop that he plays, courtesy of WBAI Pacifica Radio. So you may want to go to the archives and listen to that interview because we were discussing and unpacking hip-hop. That's maybe 4 years ago. Anyway, I just happened to see Jay on Totally Biased. That's also available on YouTube. W. Kamau Bells, who I suspect is also an Afro-nerd. Obviously, he's an Afro-nerd. Well, both of them are Afro-nerds. So anyway, we're making inroads, folks. That's good to see. We're making inroads. Blurreds, which I'm not really fond of, but blurreds, Afro-nerds, black nerds, we're making inroads. Anyway, Jay was on the show, and he was talking about a number of things, but he happened to glance over, gloss over Kanye West, and he was asked about, first of all, he's like in his late 30s, and he's aware that in this world, a person in their 30s, late 30s, may be construed as an old fogey in today's hip-hop demography. Anyway, he's asked, you know, well, we understand the type of hip-hop you like, but you admit you like Kanye West. And he says, yeah, I like Kanye, but I understand he's a mad person. And he throws the genius word around as well. I'm not going to call Kanye West a genius because I don't see it. Anyway, he makes note that in his tour, not only is Kanye selling quite well, as just the captain said, we have dimwits among us. He's selling Confederate flag T-shirts, Confederate flag paraphernalia, ladies and gentlemen. As a black man, he is selling Confederate flags. He's saying he's co-opting the meaning of the Confederate flag in some misconstrued, historically ignorant way. He's co-opting that imagery. And he also had, because he calls himself Yeezus, he had an actor on stage portray Jesus, mind you, a Caucasian Jesus. And Jay said, Jesus. Not that we try to racialize everything here, because we're not about that also. But we know what Jesus looked like. If you really were the hippest guy in the room, Captain, if you're really the hippest guy in the room, you wouldn't have Jesus, that representation of Jesus, looking like that on stage and selling you Confederate flags and telling you he's more important than the president and his wife, who are dealing with world leaders, world issues. They're not dealing with how long your hem is on your pant. Come on, that's it. That's it. A licensed fool. We need to have his license revoked, Captain. All right. Anyway, more show to go to. We're a happy show. This is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Before we get into the Obamacare issue, I'm going to say a few things on that at some point. Just lay it out. It's not a good week for POTUS, the President of the United States. It's just not. Some of us want socialized medicine to fail desperately. Desperately. And I don't think it is going to fail ultimately. With any program, no program I've seen just is instituted, is just implemented without some glitches and problems. I have yet to see that. I have yet to see any website that is erected that doesn't have problems. So we'll get into that. Anyway, I called up and it seems like it's a weekly affair now. I called up the Coco Mode Show on SiriusXM. Again, Coco Mode Show, SiriusXM, hosted by Sean Renee. And we were talking about Shop and Frisk. Now, we've spoken about Shop and Frisk now, NYC Shop and Frisk fiasco, for a couple of shows. It is an ongoing issue. It's in the daily news. It's in local newspapers. It's in the New York Post. It is an issue that just keeps on giving. More folks are coming forward. Barney's, now Macy's. I think there's other stores on the horizon that seem to have this problem with legitimate, again, the emphasis on the word, legitimate black folk. Now we're hearing other people of color, those of the Muslim faith. Some of those folks are getting into the mix about being targeted while shopping and that kind of thing, and credit cards being scrutinized and what have you. So I said my piece on the Sean Renee Show, and I'm going to play what transpired. And the captain and myself, we kind of joked around that I seem to be getting better treatment. I seem to be getting better treatment for some reason. Usually being a contrarian on a progressive program, a black contrarian, mind you, on a progressive program, doesn't go over too well to it. It's a cross that I must bear because I have a penchant for wanting the truth to come, the truth to go forward. We do have to speak more truthfully, Captain, as you know. We have to get away from this PC crap. I think maybe it was Einstein who said that, what did he say exactly? Something about if you repeat the same action or repeating the same action is insanity. If you try to do the same thing and expect different results, that would be the definition of insanity. And that's something that I think is very much endemic with portion of the black community as to how we do things, being tribal now, how some of us do things, repeating the same thing, remaining on the carousel, not getting off the carousel ride, and going in circles over and over again and expecting a different result is a type of insanity. So I want to play this clip of myself on Coco Mode, on the Coco Mode Show this past weekend, and then we'll talk about it, and then we'll get into the Obamacare issue. Hold on, folks.
I'm going to tell you, I know I got somebody on the line. Nissan, hold on, boo, but I got to get to Afro Nerd because he always has something to say and something for us to think about. Afro Nerd, what's up?
Shauna,
yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, you know, I hate to be the contrarian. I hate to do that, but
no, you don't, because you do it every week. Stop. Go ahead.
I'll go on, but you know how it's a difficult road. What happened to Trayon? What happened to Rob Brown? Did you hear about that story?
Mm-mm.
Macy's.
Mm-mm.
Rob Brown, the actor from Treme. He has a similar story. Now he's a man of means now, and he purchased, I think, a $1,500 watch for his mother, who was graduating from college herself. And he was pulled aside and detained, and they treated him. He had all the credentials and ID, and they still accused him of using a fraudulent credit card.
Okay.
So that's that issue. That's making this issue even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the cover of the Daily News as well. Also, I can also speak on the other topic because I have a BA from Hampton and an MA from St. John. So all I want to say quickly on that,
yes,
is that black folks do not get rid of the black college scene because Jewish folk are not getting rid of the yeshivas. That's not happening.
Right.
We had the Negro baseball leagues. What happened to those? So we have to maintain a black college education. That's unquestionable. Now, as far as the deal with Shop and Frisk is what they're calling it now, it's a complicated issue because what happened to these two young people and Rob Brown, patently wrong, patently wrong. But we don't want to talk about the meme that has been established with young black people using fraudulent credit cards. They are doing that. They're creating the composite, and now we are the collateral damage. The honest black person becomes the collateral damage because Barney's will tell you they have a litany of charges, a litany of arrests from young black folk trying to get over. Because we see it in the newspaper. We see the police blotter, and now the decent young black man, young black woman that's doing the right thing, that's the collateral damage. Not unlike the child in the stroller, not unlike the child playing in the yards that are getting killed by stray bullets. That's collateral damage, and this criminality is also collateral damage for the decent young black shopper.
Okay, let me stop you right there. All right, let's talk here. So you are right about that. According to the NYPD, Barney's received 53 complaints of credit card fraud and resulted in 47 arrests. Not clear how many of those arrests resulted in charges. That was this year. Now, I do not have the racial breakdown, but I guess are we just assuming that of these 53 arrests, the majority are young black men? Or do you have that as a, you know that as a fact?
Well, the stat has gone out now. They're saying it's upwards between 60 and 70% are men and women of color.
Okay, so that is something that we've seen. Okay, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree. I agree, not only when it comes to this situation, but I think in general. I think when we get upset about the way that young black men are racially profiled, we don't want to stop and ask ourselves the question, well, why are they racially profiled? Because unfortunately, we hear and see way too many stories of young black people doing things. There's two points there. The first point that we have to keep in mind is those are the stories that we hear about because the media is very savvy. They know which stories are going to sell, essentially, because that's what it's really all about, and which ones are not. So if a white boy does it and a black guy does it, then the black guy is going to be the one that you hear about, and the white boy's story is just going to be thrown up underneath, you know, the rug, and we won't think about it. Yes. But that means then that Barney's needs to have some kind of system in place to protect themselves from that kind of thing happening. And it seems like this young man, as well as the young woman, provided everything that was necessary to prove that they had the money, and therefore there was no reason for Barney's to suspect this boy or this man and this woman of committing fraud.
Can I mention two quick things? I don't do the victimization thing. I just can't do that anymore. I know that progressive radio, they're very much into, you know, we are victims and we kind of rely on that. What I'm saying is this. I'm not discounting what you just said. I think it's, what happened, I said these two young people, including Rob Brown, patently offensive. But let's start getting some surveillance equipment. I recently bought glasses that look nothing like, look just like regular glasses. But these glasses actually can record what people what you see. There's a camera glasses that make it expensive. If they're going to discriminate against you, make it expensive. Jewish folk make it expensive when they get disrespected. Black folks haven't learned that lesson.
I think this guy is trying to make it expensive, and this young girl is trying to make it expensive as well. I mean, I think they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Listen. Even with the cars that some of our young men are buying, they might buy 25-inch rims, get a surveillance equipment where the cops, when you're looking at them, they're looking at you.
Okay.
Make it difficult.
Okay. All right.
And stop asking a minstrel like Jay-Z to be righteous. That's mistake number three also. Black folks are looking at this. This man makes, quote-unquote, nigga. Now we want him to beat Malcolm X.
Did you just beep yourself? That was cute. Okay, I got to go. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Excellent job. Excellent job. Excellent job. Excellent job. And this is something, I want to add to the listening audience. This is what we have to realize with credit cards. Credit cards are not money. And the reality of it, it's not a crime to go out and credit something because you don't look a certain way or because you don't really have the money. Most of you right now listening, now here's the honest truth. Most of you, not all, you are leasing cars, you are financing cars, Christmas is coming, you're going to get an entertainment system for $3,500. You really can't afford to do most of the things that you do. And that's the truth here in America. And God forbid, talking to the Christians now, because there is a billion Christians, so they say. God forbid if you only bought what you could afford. We would not be calling America America anymore. America is set up at the in the modern day era based on, at this given time, you buying things that you cannot afford. Black man, brown man, white man, Asian man, and everybody else in between that I may have missed. Let's just keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. So the credit card situation, as AfroNerd said, it's a catch-22 because we are doing a lot of crimes. But at the same time, once that credit card purchase goes through, it is what it is at that given point. That's all. Back over to you, Sir AfroNerd.
Yeah, the further scrutinizing thing is a problem, and we're seeing more and more people coming forward now, not only Rob Brown, but there's a gentleman, I didn't catch his name, but rather youthful-looking man. I mean, 56 is still young, I believe, still. But he believes he's a fitness instructor, and he was buying, I think, maybe $300 worth of clothes, I believe, from Macy's, and the same thing went with him. His credit card went through. He leaves, and then he gets scrutinized after the purchase by the NYPD, who appear to be some kind of goon squad working at the behest of the Macy's Corporation. So Macy's has this goon squad. Barney's has this goon squad. I just don't like being a victim, Captain. I just refuse to be a victim. I believe I've been hearing figures upwards of $600,000, $700,000 in settlements for people who have been incorrectly detained or improperly detained because of these things. So it is expensive if you mess up the way they're doing, so they can continue to do this. Because, listen, if you – these are singular cases now. I don't think this is a collective figure. I think there might have been at least one case that settled for that kind of money. There's a heavy penalty to doing this. Now, my thing is when you have surveillance equipment, Captain, it makes it where conjecture is off the table. Well, that's one thing I didn't get a chance to really explain to Shauna Renee. She said, well, these people are making it expensive. Yes and no. You're putting in a claim that they are going to defend. But if you have surveillance equipment, trust me, being in the insurance field, having worked in the insurance field, having worked in the legal field, these claims will be rushed along and settled very quickly if you have evidence. And that's evidence. If you have something that clearly says, you know, better than, I mean, sound equipment, glasses that I purchased, 1080 pixelation, Captain, with audio and color, and they look just like any. They're thin. They look just like any other fashion forward glasses. And I bought them because I think that way. I read comic books, for Christ's sake. So I think that way. I refuse to be a victim just sitting around. Oh, woe is me, and I have to call up Sharpton. Reverend Sharpton now has been called in to broker some kind of detente between the black community and Macy's. I'm sorry, and Barney's. Why we have to call them? Who he represents? Why he represents? I don't know. I don't want Sharpton representing me. I don't need that. I don't need that. And one more thing, and then we're going to go to a quick. Before we get into Obamacare, I forgot that we did list the Juliana Hoff blackface controversy. I want to talk about that as well. That's going to be a quick conversation. It's Kanye, blackface, Juliana Hoff. It's all in the same the generational insanity, sociopathic, psychopathic behavior. This is what you're seeing. We're creating this. But anyway, during a recent show of Sharpton, Sharpton has his own syndicated radio show, Captain, as you know, called in, positing what I had just said. I'm wondering if he heard me, because this is all serious. Not that my idea is, you know, necessarily it's unavailable to someone else to start discovering it. But a caller called up to Sharpton and had put forward the notion of surveillance equipment. He didn't want to be a victim also. Say, hey, listen, why not have surveillance equipment? He said there's pins, there's all kinds of things that are available that we can be using as a community to substantiate these claims. Sharpton says, well, you know, it's a good idea. He said, you know something? It's a good idea. Matter of fact, the gentleman on the phone went one step further and said, why aren't we brokering deals with the companies that make these surveillance equipment? Why aren't we dealing with these people, setting up some kind of sponsorship to really put this out there for the black community? Now, the captain and myself have spoken about this. We've been talking about this eons ago. So we just start doing some reconfiguring with what we're doing. That's something that's going to be considered. But we thought about that a while ago. Anyway, in response, Sharpton says, you know, that's a good idea, but I don't know if we could afford it. It's expensive.
That's the best. That's the best.
And I couldn't stop laughing, Captain. I couldn't stop laughing. I said, wait a minute. It's expensive, Reverend, and you have natural fools, because they're not licensed fools. We talked about I believe our friend Q-Storm came in late. We spoke about the difference between or the distinction between licensed fools and natural fools. So we have natural fools, Captain, that are buying $2,500 bags and close to $400 belts, but buying personal surveillance equipment is expensive. And you want to know why people look at us like we're all unlicensed fools. Look what your leader just said. We can't afford. I don't know. It's expensive, though, isn't it? It's expensive. It's expensive. But we're risking detainment over thousands of dollars in negligible goods. All right. Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it is, Captain. Go ahead, Captain.
I just waited. All right.
Wow.
It's crazy. See, a lot of times, black people, not only black people, white people do it too, and everybody else in between, they confuse wants and needs. But we confuse wants and needs a lot. Follow me on this. You'll spend $80,000 for a car that you want. Then when it's time to, let's say, get a book that you need for some course that you need, that you're taking, that you need to improve yourself on the job, the book maybe is $80 or what have you, you don't have it. That's the type of things we do in the black community. Not all of us, but a lot of us. We pull that. Wants and needs. The PlayStation is $300. You'll find the money for that. You'll find the money for the Nintendo system. You'll find the money or the credit. You know, some of us do have credit for the $3,500 entertainment system. But you will not find the money for the $70, $80, $100, $200 surveillance glasses. Yeah, I'm just saying. Wants and needs. Wants and needs. That's all. That's all. Walk good. Go from there, black people. Back over to you, Seraphim Nerd.
All right, folks. We're going to get back after a quick live groove, more from His Royal Badness. I'm just in that kind of mood. More groove, and we'll get back. Julianne Hough, I believe her brother, is it Derek Hough, I think, from Dancing with the Stars, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, she's out there, celebrity. I believe she's 25, so they're already chalking up her faux pas to youth. But I have a bit more to say on this thing. It's disturbing. Even what's attached to this, you know, yes, it's yet another person. We see it in sororities. We see it in fraternities where these folks dress up this way, lambasting people of color. It's been going on for years. It's continuing into the 21st century, even with a president of color. It's continuing. But it's even more attached. There's so much ignorance even beyond the act of her wearing this garb. So we'll unpack in a few moments. More Prince. This is his cover. his cover of the Jimi Hendrix classic from the Band of Gypsies group. Who knows? Who knows? We'll be right back. It's Groove. Folks, I had to hold my nose on that because it's so damn funky. That is His Royal Badness channeling Jimi Hendrix, another great. Again, Captain, I'm supposed to believe Kanye West is a genius. I'm supposed to believe it. Yes, his soon-to-be wife has a derriere that intrigues me. I will confess to that. But still, he's no genius, folks. Sorry. Sorry. That's Who Knows, Band of Gypsies / Jimi Hendrix, 1970. That's His Royal Badness channeling that live. Again, the Midweek in Review show, folks. The call-in number, don't be scared, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. All right, you know, I had advertised about this faux pas, if you want to call that, this misstep. I think it's a little bit more severe than a misstep because it keeps on happening repeatedly. It happens so frequently, Captain, that I sincerely doubt that these folks that are buying these costumes or putting them together, that they don't know that this can be construed as being patently offensive. Now, our friend Kim from Chirac, and you have our blessings, dear. We know you are stressed out there. We aren't that far from what do I always call it, East New Yorkistan. I mean, we're far enough, but it's probably half an hour, maybe a little bit more. Let's say, it would take an hour for me if I had to go there, because I would not want to go to East New Yorkistan. Anyway, we've seen this thing over and over again, and Huff will not be the first, and she certainly will not be the last with these offensive costumes. We've seen politicians. We've seen local politicians who are certainly old enough to know better not to parade around in blackface. Now, the reason why this is offensive, it's a multifaceted reason as to why it is offensive. On the blackface of it, it's because blackness is not a costume. Again, it's just a characteristic. It's just like being tall. If you were a short person, I don't know, would you have to configure yourself in a way to be tall through some machinations to play a tall character? I mean, height, hair texture, skin coloring, they're benign characteristics. There's nothing unique about having high melanin content. But being in the Americas, being in under the auspices of a westernized culture, since you've been here, black folk and brown folk and people of coloring, your color, because you're not the folks that are in control, your color has always been positioned as the oddity, colored people called at one time. There's nothing innately strange that would warrant a person to have to color their skin. You're in the 21st century. Now, enlightened white folk that want to portray a character of color, they just put on the costume, minus the coloring, and you still know who the person is. Daryl Hannah? I forgot the gentleman's name. Not Daryl. Daryl Hannah's the female. But anyway, one of the SNL actors from a few years ago, he would do a fairly dead-on impersonation of Reverend Jesse Jackson. He had everything. He looked like Jackson, but he did not have the makeup on. And it was just as funny, and it was funnier, actually. It was funnier because you knew who it was, and he was a white guy doing it masterfully. So really, the skin thing didn't even measure. It didn't even play a role in it because he was either himself or someone, the people behind them, they knew better than to do that. So we've seen sophisticated white folk, again, emphasis on the word sophisticated. We've seen sophisticated white folk portray black characters without having to do the makeup. We've seen that. Now, I went to, for reasons unknown, I went to Perez Hilton out of curiosity to see how that blog discussed it. Now, of course, Perez Hilton, being a Hispanic man himself, a Hispanic gay man, he just put the issue out there, talked about how patently offensive it is, how could this woman not know any better? It's the responders, young people, who responded. 90% of them just didn't see this as being a big deal. Why is this a big deal? She's just playing the character. Now, for more specificity, I should be mentioning this. Huff was putting on the character. I believe the character's name is Crazy Eyes. It's a character played by a woman of color that's on a very popular Netflix series called Orange is the New Black. I believe Q-Storm took umbrage with the term Orange is the New Black. That is not a racial designation, by the way. The term Orange is the New Black. Black has been deemed as a fashion-forward color, as black as a color, not black as an ethnicity or black as a racial coloring, but just black as far as fashion. So we've seen black has always been popular in fashion. So Orange is the New Black, people having to wear, the young women having to wear orange penitentiary overalls. So for them, since you're going to prison, Orange is the New Black. Orange is your fashion statement. That's the reason why the term is used as the title of the show, Orange is the New Black. Anyway, bottom line is these young people patently did not see anything was wrong. They brought up White Chicks, the Wayans Brothers movie. Well, you know, they did that, blah, blah, blah. First of all, that can be considered turnaround as fair play. I'm very much into adages. Turnabout is fair play. If you factor in the centuries of minstrelsy, the centuries of blackface in cinema in the 20th century, in print ads, pictures, in books, in live acts, Al Jolson, Amos and Andy, Birth of a Nation, there's a historical context that where blackface was the norm. It was the very fabric of American entertainment culture and American culture. It was okay to make fun of black folk. So for someone in the modern era to go there, patently incorrect when you consider the history and the fact that my skin is not a Wookiee costume. Sorry. Being black is not wearing a Joker costume. It's not. I'm a human being. And the history is there. Look it up. You don't even have to go to a library anymore, folks. You can go to Google. Google up all the images. Go to Google Images and put in blackface. See what you see. These are knuckleheads. All right. Let's go to the phones, and I want the captain to weigh in as well. Obamacare looks like it's going to be discussed. Obamacare will be discussed on Saturday. Remember, we have the Grindhouse show, the double feature show. Let me go to the phones. 201, tell us what's up, who you are.
Hey guys, this is Q Storm. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm up from New Jersey tonight. And can you hear me okay? Cell phone. Okay, good.
Perfect.
So, you know, Diva, Captain.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm tribal. I will always be tribal. You guys are my boys. You know that, right? But I have to call in when I feel that maybe you want to take a look at it from a different perspective in terms of particularly Julianne Hough or Howe, however you pronounce her name.
I think it's Hough. It's Hough.
Hough? Okay. Well, see, here's the thing. I guess to me, I'm going to conflate your justifiable rants on the use of the term nigga, how we've commodified it and sold it, packaged it, sent it around the world, okay?
Yeah.
And so we have no standing to complain when white folks and rap and the kids that are buying it, the suburban and exurban kids that are using that term, we really can't complain about it. So now we have this actress, and this isn't the first time this has happened, an actress who, as far as I know, I have no reason not to believe this, that she admires the character. She has nothing in her heart that, as far as I know, is racist. So she is just dressing up as the character, and she understands that if she does not wear blackface, you may not know who the character is. Now, let me go a little further. Do you recall a few years ago there was this young white child who was a huge admirer of Martin Luther King? I think this happened in New York.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
And
yeah.
He was kicked out of school. He was kicked out of school for coming. I don't know if it was Halloween or not, but he was kicked out of school for wearing a suit and blackface and a fake mustache because he wanted to dress up like Martin Luther King. Now,
right.
If he had not done the blackface, on the surface of it, had he not done the blackface, he would have just been a kid in a suit. but he did the blackface. He had the speech down cold. And I guess what I'm saying is I am not so sensitive or vulnerable that someone who has no impurity in their heart or no racism in their heart and admires a character who happens to be of my ethnicity, why should I have a problem with that? And again, if this character on Orange is the New Black, if we are sanctioning that and we are not vocal about this character being a minstrel character, who are we to stand in the way of someone who likes that character and wants to dress up as it? If I want to dress up as George Washington and I want to put whiteface on, is there a problem with that? I think we have to look at that.
Well, listen, we've seen black folk. You can go to Comic-Con. I was there, what, 2 weeks ago? We've seen black folk portray white characters all day long. And if you put on a powdered wig and wore and looked like you were, I don't know, and you were running the country in 1776, what have you, Valley Forge, some Valley Forge connection, we would figure it out. You look, if you look like that on the dollar, you know, I mean, we would not. I mean, we've seen this before. Many black folk, and when it comes to portraying, very few, I have very rarely seen black people put on white face makeup. I mean, listen, even it's just the history is just nasty, Q. When you factor in, even when it came down to white folk portraying Native Americans in the 50s and 60s, I mean, there's been, look at Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. This is a repeated thing. There's just no room.
You're talking about a time where, yeah. You're talking about a time, you're talking about Mickey Rooney. You're talking about a time where you go back to Al Jolson. Totally different issue. I'm with you on that. That was a period of time where it was denigrating to put on blackface. But I'm talking about people who have no malice in their heart putting on blackface. Now Afro Nerd and Captain Kirk, we are all strong black men. We can get over that. We are strong enough to withstand that. Now, if a racist puts on blackface, I got a problem. But Julianne
Hough? You know what? Through the makeup, I can't tell if you're a racist or not. Sorry. I can't tell. The makeup confuses me. Captain, what are your thoughts on this? We have to table this for us for Saturday. Captain, your thoughts? You got about a minute.
I think, number one, black people have been conquered. They were conquered by white people. So conquered people always talk about fairness. Fairness is the illusion of the weak, to protect them from the strong to no avail. So that being said, when you see white chicks, who signed off on that? Who greenlit that? It's people with power. So the people with power are not going to be concerned with a few black people who don't have any power dressing up like some white girls. It has no effect on them. Now, being that our history is what it is in this country, it has effect on us. So that's the whole game that you're playing. It's not about fairness because there is no fairness. You see, so that's the whole thing we're going into. So what really needs to happen is these people do not know the history, these white people that are dressing up and doing the Orange is the New Black. They need to learn the history. And once they learn the history, they would not do it. That's the whole thing that it comes down to.
And beyond that, when you see the commenters, they're dismissive of it. They don't even care about the history. I think they should at least acknowledge it. So for them to say it doesn't matter, it was a long time ago, why should I? They're very angry and dismissive about how it could be perceived. They don't care.
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think we should be dismissive about the history. But and again, I'm not talking about the history. The history is what it was. That was denigration. I'm just saying, and I know you're ready to go, but I'm just saying what Julianne Hough, however you pronounce her name, whatever she did, what this little kid did, I don't think there was any malice in what they were trying.
We're going to go. Of course, we have to table this for Saturday. It's not about malice. Though. I'm going to leave on this one point. I just don't understand why do you need to put the makeup on? Like, I don't see why that makes it necessary for some reason. We've seen sophisticated people do it without the makeup, and they still their point was still made. It's poking fun at your coloring. That is how it's been perceived. We've seen frat parties do this, ghetto parties with frizzy wigs and that whole thing.
That's
it never goes over well.
And that's very different. And I agree with you on that. That's not good. That's different.
We don't know. We don't know what's in your heart. Basically, what it comes down to. We don't know. All right, you listen. Saturday, 6 o'clock. We'll table it for 7. It's been, as always, we appreciate you supporting us. Let's go out on White Man Dingoes. Speaking of this kind of stuff, White Man Dingoes, Mandingo Rally. See you on Saturday, folks.
Black rights in space, I might catch the case. I'll be hiding in a spaceship, but as soon as the base hits, I'll become an escapist. Back to the basics, hip-hop based in a project basement. How you think God if you never free bass, kid? Meditation, transcendental. My band is the band, advanced instrumentals. Yoga, yogi, cigar, stogie. Pitch right the crib and they tried to fold me. Tibet, Nepal, Masonic halls. Project hallway, Taj Mahal. Dichotomy, diatribe, comedy. Ain't shit funny about dying in poverty. Honestly, follow me, Greek stole astrology. Then they went crazy and crashed their economy. Fuck the Odyssey and economic policy. Economic sanctions, sanctions, sodomy.
I am cosmic. I am constant. I am conscious. I am tainted, toxic, and I love to talk shit.
It's fucked up, you depend on me. New Nike Airs and Nintendo Wii. Yeezy, Weezy, Jeezy, Breezy. Fuck me, I wanna kill my TV. Niggas in Paris, niggas of the day make a nigga embarrassed. Where is the science? Righteous Rasta, rebellion, defiance. Flying on crack, baby. To make a difference, I ain't that crazy. Praise be to the G that raised me, cause all this bullshit today don't faze me. Whole rap ain't respectable. That corn ain't a vegetable. What you did is regrettable, and just because you black don't make it acceptable. Incredible ignorance endangers the innocent. All for the Benjamins manipulating minds for the monetary benefit.
I am cosmic. I am constant. I am conscious. I am tainted, toxic, and I love to talk shit.
All blacks ain't brothers. Just cause we the same color. Still a punk motherfucker, live like a man or die like a sucker. Never stutter, stand by your word. Respect the game or else get served. And you got some nerve, just another nerd that was raised in the burbs. Race traitor, call me a hater. Sell out your people for profit and paper. Ain't nothing sacred, living in a state of supreme self-hatred. We doing it to ourselves, without the white man's help. In and out of jail, how the fuck you raise a son inside of a cell? We doing it to ourselves, without the white man's help. In and out of jail, how the fuck you raise a son inside of a cell? Get the fuck off your cell phone.